This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, and welcome to the Friday podcast. We get things started right off the bat with Bill O'Reilly going over the week. He's got some interesting things to say about not only the week, but the future of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and Donald Trump that you don't want to miss. Also, we talked to the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland. They are very concerned about freedom of speech being lost to these American tech companies. They're trying now to put some new regulations on them. I don't like them for America, but the rest of the world is calling out and saying, hey, can you guys stop with this? Also, Aaron Watson stops by, country artist. All of his CDs and albums go to number one without any radio airplay. It's one of the most incredible stories since probably Johnny Cash, who got very little airplay. But he gets none whatsoever, and still has huge hits. We talked to him about the American soul, and also a sneak peek of this weekend's podcast that you don't want to miss with Jason Whitlock. And you can get that, if you're a Blaze subscriber, you get it right now. If not, on Saturday around 3:00 in the afternoon, it will download and be ready for you to listen to Jason Whitlock's podcast. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Goodness, we're starting the show with the author of Killing Crazy Horse, that best-selling book, that whole series of killing people. You're kidding me. And he is the guy, the no-spin news. He's that same guy, Bill O'Reilly. Welcome to the program from BillO'Reilly.com.
Thank you, Beck. How are you doing today?
It's been an interesting week.
What happened this week? I don't
know. Nothing. Nothing really happened. Holy cow. Bill, yeah. Where do you want to start on the week?
Well, I think that, you know, all of the things that Americans are seeing in the aftermath of the inauguration are predictable. And, you know, I have a lot of liberal friends, and I told them during the election, look, I understand you might not like Trump. I got it. Everybody's got it. All right. The guy is very, very flamboyant. Let's be kind. Flamboyant. So you may not like his style. But if you vote for Joe Biden and if you get behind the progressive movement, you're going to get hurt. It's going to hurt you personally. And then most of them, I can't be wasting Trump. And I said, well, how is Trump hurting you? How directly is President Trump hurting you? Silence, crickets. We never have. Well, it's just the way he can. Yeah. All right. Fine. So now Biden is doing exactly what the New York Times and Washington Post want him to do. This is a very important point that the legions of Beck listeners should consider. The country is being run by a man who craves approval from two newspapers, the Times and the Post. And that is how he's going to make his decisions. Those
wow, that's
are
frightening.
The executive orders he's going to sign. And it's frightening to me because these two
what makes you hang on, what makes you say that? Because that is a terrifying thought. I mean, Donald Trump craved approval as well, but at least he was craving the approval of the American people. What makes you say that about Biden?
Because if you look at what Biden has prioritized in his first 2 days, it's all 100% based on Washington Post and New York Times editorials. You want to run down a list?
Go do it.
Okay. Open borders. Number one, shouldn't be any inhibitions for anyone in the world to come into the United States and not do the paperwork and not follow the rules.
So, Bill, you have done this job for many, many years. You have seen many administrations back and forth. Is this the first one that has done something this large without a carrot to the other side?
Sure, because they believe they have a mandate to correct the Trump administration.
And what gives them the feeling of this mandate with Congress and everything being so close?
Yeah, but they don't care about that. They're basically saying, look, we have an opportunity now to put a progressive agenda onto the American people that we hope is going to be, you know, a long, long time.
Right.
We're going to, you know, we're taking our shot now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let's get back to the New York Times and Washington Post, because you're absolutely right. This is frightening. So the first thing is the immigration. All right. Stop the wall. Anybody who wants asylum can come here, and maybe 5 years, 6 years from now, you'll get a hearing. But in the meantime, you can do whatever you want. Well, if I'm a poor person anywhere in the world, I'm going, I'm getting there.
Yep. Right? Me too. Yep. There's not even a lottery. It's just go.
Yeah. It's just like, if I can get there, even if I have COVID, I mean, they're not putting COVID testing stations south of the border.
Right.
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 People are marching up from Honduras and Guatemala, and trust me, they're not social distancing.
And it's, what's really important to point out, it's not the people who are coming over. It's not their fault. It's like Disney World saying, hey, we're just going to have free admission, you know, next 100 days. It's just, we're not even going to check tickets, and you could stay in the hotels, and we don't really care. Of course, every family that could never afford to go to Disney would be there.
But there's another component. You can come to Disney World and stay in our hotels, even if you have COVID. Come on in.
Well, the COVID thing, can we just sidetrack here for a second? The COVID thing is ridiculous. First of all, his 100 million doses in 100 days, and Trump didn't have a plan. No, his plan was 1 million vaccinations a day. So your plan is exactly the same as his plan was. Then on top of it, all of these states now saying, especially New York with Cuomo, okay, we got to get back to business. The mayor of Washington, D.C. opens up in-dining restaurants again, and she does it on the magical date of January 22nd.
Yeah, here's all that. But if you run down the checklist, the big one is let as many people into the country who are living overseas as possible, because if you do that, then Democrats will never again lose an election ever, because eventually all these people will be given citizenship. And that was one of the first executive orders. It was, all right, they're going to get the DACA and a pathway, 8 years. I'll draw this legislation up and we'll pass it.
11 million people may be made citizens in the next 100 days, and stopping or pausing deportations for 100 days.
Right. So, again, my liberal friend, I go, you like this? Is this good? And then there's no
answer.
Okay. So that's immigration, and that's going to come back to bite Biden in 2 years, not 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to see the siege at the border. You're going to see the pictures. Now, it won't be reported, but there are enough right-wing outlets and conservatives that you'll see it. The stats will be there, and you know, all of that. The second thing is the economy. So people, you got to assume that in 5 months or so, in the sun by summer, that COVID will be at least under control. Most people will be vaccinated, and the economy will surge again. It will, because there'll be commerce much more than there is now. Money will be circulating. So the economy will get a nice bump, all right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at the subtext, everything that Biden is doing is designed to take more money away from the American worker.
So I have to tell you, Bill, when you say the economy gets a bump, I think the big business, the banks and everything else, they're going to get a big bump. The banks have already said if Biden does his taxes, we're just going to increase the interest rate on loans. And so they'll make their money. The ones, and you see it with two things that Biden has done this week. The Keystone Pipeline, 11,000 jobs just gone. The second thing that he has done is he just went and to his cabinet and said, I want you to look at the regulations that strengthen our agenda and play to our agenda. I don't care the cost of those. The first thing Trump did is, look, what is the cost of these regulations to the American people? And if it is costing the American people jobs or money, cut that regulation. Now, it's just the opposite. I don't care what it does. This is going to hurt. This will help big business, and it will hurt small business, which is already almost dead, and the average American worker.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know down in Texas what's going on, but here on Long Island.
We're okay.
All right. Gas, a price of a gallon of gas gone up 12 cents.
Why?
Biden was elected.
Because they know what's coming.
Right. They say, okay, well, he's gonna conduct a war on fossil fuels, which he will, because the New York Times wants him to. And so we're going to get ahead of this, and we're going to jack up all the gasoline prices, and that will go everywhere. But, in New York, that's the crazy state, along with California. So we're already up 12 cents a gallon since Inauguration Day.
Wow.
Because you're absolutely right. These corporations, they know every trick in the book. And not going to take the hit.
No.
They're going to pass the hit on to the folks.
Yeah.
So again, I call my liberal friends. I go, hey, did you see the gas prices? Putting gas in your big Hummer? How much is that Hummer, So it's going to take a while, Beck. But people are going to start to see that they're not as well off under progressive principles as they were under the free market Trump principles. They will start to see it. Now, I'm talking about people who work and generate money and who have homes and all of this. Those are the folks I'm talking about, and that's most of the country.
Well, wait a minute. I agree with you on that, but this $15 an hour wage that Bernie Sanders is pushing through, if we make that a national wage, $15 an hour decimated Seattle, just decimated it. And you will see the people at the bottom of the ladder lose even more jobs.
But they'll gain more benefits, entitlements. Already today, this morning, Biden signed an executive order increasing food stamps. So the people who will be laid off, and they will be, because the robots are coming to the fast foods and all of that.
So, Bill, let me ask you this question. I thought of this today when talking about this very thing where we're just reversing what happened 4 years ago. And when Trump came in, he reversed what Obama did. We can't live like this every 4 years or 8 years. We have got to decide if we are a socialist country or a free market and a free people, or a people that just do what the autocrats tell us to do. Can we go on as a country going back and forth like this?
Well, I don't understand. Most of people don't understand the battle between free markets and socialism. They hear it, but do they know what it really is? No. But you're absolutely right that Obama is back. So it's really Obama running the country, not Biden. And everybody knew when Susan Rice was appointed Biden's top domestic advisor, that was basically, hey, Barack, tell me what to do.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
If you are ready for some really great news, keep listening. Built Bar is back, and it is unbelievable. If you've been listening to my show this year, I love Built Bars. It's an all-American story. This is a client I asked to be on the show because I didn't listen to my wife again. And she'd been telling me about it, but it has protein bar on it. And those always taste like a doormat. This is unbelievable. The mint brownie flavor? Oh, yes, baby. It is life-changing. The new bars taste better than ever. In addition to the 12 original flavors, Built Bar just added cookies and cream, carrot cake, caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp. I mean, it's great. Built Bar. Delicious, nutritious, high protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carbs, 100% real chocolate, and 100% really good. Plus, they've reset the code for this new launch. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Beck, get $10 off your first order. Promo code Beck, BuiltBar.com. The Deputy Minister of Justice and a member of Parliament in Poland, his name is Sebastian Kalata, and he joins us now from Poland. How are you, sir?
Hello, Glenn. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
We want to talk to you a little bit about what Europe is doing. You guys don't have the First Amendment that we have, a guaranteed right by our Constitution for freedom of speech. So you guys have to address it a little differently. But you are one of the stronger voices, not only in Poland, but all in Europe, warning about what is happening with big tech. Tell me what it is like in Poland. What's happening?
Maybe we don't have a First Amendment because we have it's directly stated in our Constitution. The freedom of speech is one of the most important freedoms in our Constitution, in our tradition. And we saw that big tech companies, especially Facebook and YouTube, from time to time censor several content which is not illegal. For example, Christian or patriotic content, and they decide that this is hate speech, and we saw this disturbing because who will judge? Who will judge what is hate speech? And they are anonymous. These anonymous moderators decide what is disputed publicly, what is discussed publicly. And we started to draft a bill on free speech on social media. We finished drafting that bill on December, and we are aware that some kinds of bill regulating big tech are enforced right now in Germany and in France, but their approach is to force social media to delete some content. But our approach is to prevent the legal content from being censored. And we finished drafting our bill on December, and last weeks we saw this big dispute in U.S. Regarding banning Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And many publishers, many politicians right now are interested in our concept because we saw that freedom of speech is in danger and we want to protect it.
So we're talking now to the Deputy Minister of Justice of Poland about free speech. You know, in doing my work on history, Poland is a country that just gets walked on over and over and over again through history. If you just look at World War II, you're the gateway to Europe or the gateway to Russia. And the saddest tales, I think, come from these great freedom fighters who were fighting the Nazis only then to be occupied by the communists who did much of the same thing. So we don't have that here in America. In America, we don't have a history of somebody telling us what to do. And we're, I would say a little soft, but we're very soft. We are very fat, and we just don't think it could happen here in America. Tell us what you're seeing, and is there a historic context that makes Poland more aware of the value of being able to say whatever it is you want to say.
You know, our history is rich on the events where we saw censorship. In 18th century, Poland was stolen away by free countries, and Poles were under slaves of Germany, Russia, and Habsburg Austria. And in 20th century, like you said, we were under communist power, and my parents remember the censorship, even in the 80s, of communist regime. We in Poland are very careful about freedom of speech. We think we are cheering freedom of speech because in some time we cannot free speak of our minds. I can give you a nice historical example of censorship on history, because you mentioned that Poland was occupied by German Nazi, and today we have a decision of Facebook which banned an advertisement a campaign by Polish Institute of National Remembrance, and this institute wants to present the history of ghetto for children, Polish children in Łódź, where they were like it was like a concentration camp, and many of them died there. And Facebook banned this material to be promoted as a part of showing Polish history. And we see that there is a problem with censorship. There are many dangers in big tech companies which we should face. We should try to regulate, because in history we have many innovations like railways, like phones, and at the beginning it was a private organization, but when these devices were used by everyone in our lives, these companies create monopoles, and these monopoles in some way started to be regulated by the by the state, because every citizen must be protected. The rights of every one of us should be protected.
Right.
And freedom of speech is very important to be protected, to preserve democracy itself. So that's why we decided 1 year ago to start drafting this kind of bill. And now we are trying to adopt this law.
So the difference here in the debate we're having right now is you're seeing Silicon Valley as a monopoly, a cartel, I think is what you've actually described it as. And so the government, what your proposal is, what you're moving towards, is the government has to decide what speech is hate speech and which is not. That concerns many of us and concerns me here in America for our system, because I don't want the government to decide what free speech is. That's not their role in under our Constitution with the Bill of Rights. Our Constitution says that they cannot do those things. Are you concerned at all after seeing decades of oppression in Poland from an out-of-control government? Are you concerned at all that that could be turned around against the Polish people if a bad government gets in?
Our proposal is different than the similar proposals in Germany, France, or even the European Commission, because they presented also in December the project of regulation Digital Services Act, which obliged the big tech company to comply with European law. And our proposal is that the government may step in only if someone in Poland complains about being banned. So this decision of government is not about to order Facebook or Twitter or YouTube to delete your account or your content, but to restore it if the decision of big tech company is not complying with Polish law. So we want to protect freedom of speech in this mechanism. And thank you for this question, because it's tricky. If government say, okay, we are protecting freedom of speech, and we decide which is what's legal and what and at the beginning, to in regulation big tech companies, we want like to protect even them from criticism of banning some stuff, because you have some content which is illegal, like, I don't know, pornography, terrorism, etc.
Right.
And the government should be able to react. However, there is an area like freedom of speech, freedom of opinion, public discussions on crucial topics, and the government should protect your right to speak freely. And our proposition is different, because we want the government just to check if the ban given by big tech is in line with Polish law. So this kind of regulation could preserve some people, some users which are banned on social media because, for example, hate speech, and the government may say, no, it's not a hate speech. It's an opinion which is maybe hard, maybe controversial, but it is opinion. And this opinion is covered by freedom of speech preserved by Polish Constitution. And this is the effect we want to make.
Talking to the Deputy Prime Minister of Justice, Member of Parliament of Poland, about the regulation of high tech over in Poland, I thank you very much for your article in Newsweek and your wake-up plea to the United States and everything that you're doing for your country. I will tell you, I've been to Poland once. It's absolutely beautiful. The history there is amazing. I have friends that go over quite a bit, and they tell me I've wanted to go back just to witness this. They tell me that your youth, the millennials in Poland, are wide awake and are some of the best scholars on freedom and liberty that are in the world. And I find that exciting that your younger generation is appreciating what was so long and hard fought for by your parents and grandparents.
It's very nice to hear that, and I think that you should definitely go back to Poland, and I would be happy to have a coffee with you in Warsaw.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks. Deputy Prime Minister of Justice, Member of Parliament of Poland, Sebastian Kalata. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. You know, I have a good friend that I just love, because he is one of the few people that is a big star that is actually 100% real, and you hear it in his music. My friend is Aaron Watson, and he joins us now. Hi, Aaron.
How are you, friend? It's been a while. I've been missing y'all.
I know. Well, I get emails from you from time to time, and then you'll say, oh man, I just came up with this song, and you'll send it to me and I can listen to it, and then you won't let me share it with anybody. And I've been dying to share this. So can we get right to it?
Absolutely.
Tell me where this came from. When was it? Over the summer you sent this to me?
Yeah. You know, I had a little extra time on my hands this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, between the honey-do list and my new garden and the chickens.
Right.
You know, my touring schedule kind of halted for a while.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, over the last year, even before the pandemic, I thought to myself, I said, you know what? It's important that I start making more music with meaning. Mm. And I actually started this album before all of this
nonsense.
You know, but this everything
that's been building.
It's been building.
Yeah.
It's we've talked about it a couple years ago, and really so much of the advice you've given me with your independent status mm-hmm. and the way you think really inspired me to make music for my fans, make music for this country, music that makes the world a better place, even if it's only in my little corner. Even if I'm only having a positive influence on my neighborhood or my community, to do something that makes the world a better place. And I wanted to write a song where it's like, hey, you know what? This country has been through hard times before. This country has had its ups and downs. And we need to stay positive. We need to love each other. We, you know, I always tell people, they're like, you know, when they're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., I was like, you know what? I'm trying to focus on what's going on in Taylor County right now. Mm. You know, it's like I want right. to make sure that I'm taking care of the people in my community. And I think this song, American Soul, I want it to be a song that I'm not trying to change the world. I just want to make music that puts a smile on the faces of my fans, but also gets them, when we're so surrounded with bad news all the time, kind of takes them back to
what you felt. I listened to this over the summer over and over again, and I just loved it and have waited for the day.
Yes, today's the day.
Today's the day that you can hear it. It's called American Soul by Aaron Watson. Listen.
All the old men at the diner telling tales too tall to tell. They're all bragging about the good old days and how this country has gone to hell. But as for me, I believe we got a heartland full of hope. We're coming back around, 'cause you can't hold down the American soul. It's the joy of grandma laughing and grandpa's funny jokes. It's the rumble of those old baseball cards flapping between the spokes. It's a 4th of July picnic. It's farm aid and rock and roll. From town to town, you can hear the sound of the American soul. Oh, say, can you see the flag that you wave? Freedom ain't free in the home of the brave. It's the roots and the boots, from the hard hat to the steel toe. Sweating tears and build the backbone, the American soul. It's the words of amazing grace, and it's born in the USA. It's those Yankees in the playoffs, those Cowboys on a Sunday. It's a red, white, and blue. It's the yellow, brown, and black. It's those rotten old Republicans and those darn old Democrats. Say, can you see the flag that you wave? Freedom ain't free in the home of the brave. It's the roots and the boots, from the hard hat to the steel toe. It's the hustle and bustle, blood, sweat, and tears of building the back of the American soul. Of the American soul. Oh, say, can you see the flag that you wave? Freedom ain't free in the home of the brave. It's the roots and the boots, from the hard hat to the steel toe. Hustle and muscle, blood, sweat, and tears, and build the backbone of the American soul.
Aaron Watson.
All we need is a little love.
Jeez.
To knock off a little rust. Take time to shine that penny. so we can read in God we trust.
Aaron Watson, American Soul. When I heard that, I heard something that I've really only heard Donald Trump try to relate to, and he did, mm-hmm. which is the guy that nobody's listening to, the mm-hmm. guy that nobody's noticing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
The little guy.
It's the American people. I mean, that's what makes...
The soul?
The soul of this country. It's like they talk about it, the church. It's not the building that makes the church. It's the people within the church that make the church. And that's what makes America, America. It's not this select elected few people mm-hmm. that's not America. That's part of our government. But this country was built on the American people. And I tell people, I was like, I don't care if Mickey Mouse is elected president or Donald Duck. I care about my country. But regardless of who gets elected, I'm going to wake up every morning. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to be the best dad that I can be. And I'm going to focus on the things that I can control. And I mean, I care about the future of this country.
Yeah, I know you do.
And that's why I thought to myself, you know what? What can I do to make an impact? And I was like, I have my music.
The American people have, they're tired. They're tired and they're beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I listen to, are you familiar with the group AJR?
I've heard of them.
Okay. I think they're really good. My son turned me on to them mm-hmm. and I think they're really good. I listened to them on the way in today because their lyrics are positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're just, you don't give up, you know, don't
yeah.
listen to what other people say. Just do it, mm-hmm. you know? And everybody has their own gift. And instead of doing what everybody else is doing, or you're doing what your gift is
yeah.
and adding to the puzzle piece.
And yeah, exactly.
Can I ask you, because I know this, I used to be a music programmer for radio for a long time. And I know how the music industry works.
Yeah.
And I know how freaked out. I remember, you remember, Stu, were you with me when somebody in Nashville called me into their office and I just started The Blaze and they said, do you have any advice for us? Because it was the record industry was falling apart,
yeah.
falling apart. And they didn't have any idea what to do. And I remember walking out of the office thinking, boy, they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only and the first and I believe the only artist to chart at number one as an independent with
yeah.
almost no stations
mm-hmm.
playing you.
Yep.
Which is incredibly unheard of.
Yeah.
And very hard to do. Your last five albums have all charted top five, even though now corporate radio refuses to play you because
yeah.
of the pushback from the record labels, because they don't want other artists to do what you've done, because then they're out of business.
Yeah. I'm definitely, my business model is a threat to the mainstream major label way of doing things, because if all of a sudden you have all these independent artists out there
yeah.
not needing major record labels to have radio success, then it puts them all out of a job. So it's the politics. But for me, it becomes very personal, because music is the family business.
Mm.
So when I have program directors at stations that have been playing me, telling me, I'm getting calls from New York telling me I cannot play you anymore. It becomes personal.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's not like I'm not bitter. I'm so blessed. I mean, just like you said, I mean, the reason why we charted an album number one on Country Billboard is because God's blessed me with the best fans in the world. I mean, what you've done for me with the Vaquero record, the Red Bandana record, I mean, it's been amazing. Your fans and my music,
they go hand in hand. Yeah, they do.
It's been amazing. I mean, before all this shutdown, you know, after every show, I'm hanging out at the merch booth. You buy a ticket. I always tell people, you bought a ticket, the hugs are free, you know, after shows. So many of your people coming and supporting me. But it's one of those things where I finally have taken it very personal. There's been so many. We've done things. there's only been three songs in 60 years on top 40 radio that have charted top 10 by an independent artist. And I think, Out of Style was the only one to do it in the last 20 something years. And then we had a couple of top 40s, but we got ousted. We got booted. And you know what? I thought to myself, I don't have to put up with this. I'm going to fight for my business.
It's remarkable to me how we're fighting for our voice to be mm-hmm. heard, and we're independent, and everyone who's not independent is suddenly coming to us going, how do we do this?
Yeah.
How do we do this? How can we do this quickly? How can we do this? Because they're snuffing out voices.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that the voice of the independent artist mm-hmm. is also gone. It's just gone.
It is absolutely gone. And that's where I thought to myself, so it's, you know, I know from a business standpoint that since I'm the custodian and the CEO at my label, that I need to be talking about everyone going and buying the new album, American Soul, or downloading it or streaming it, and it's out there now. But I put this album out last Friday, and then I went back in the studio 2 days later, and I recorded another record.
Which you would never do if you were on a label.
Never, never.
Never.
But I'm hungry, and I'm fired up, and I'm excited about the music, and I'm excited about being that voice for not just independent artists everywhere, but the small businessman. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, I'm not going to go down without a fight, and rather than throw punches with my fists, we're going to do it melodically speaking, and it's fun. And I have something to say.
Are you back on the road again?
No, we had a little. We took the little 4 month involuntary vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Had the time of my life.
Yeah, we did too.
You know, you and I talked on the phone about it, and I've told people, I'm like, listen, shows were canceled, a lot of money was lost, and I made priceless memories with my family.
Likewise.
And that's all you can do is look at it like that. I found ways that more than anything, it showed me that there is, you can find a way to get it done.